copyright forum of Christian leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Sometimes people say, well, where are you from? And I say, well, I was born and raised in Holland and lived there until 1990. And then I lived in Austria for 3 years, and then I lived in Colorado, and I lived in the Czech Republic. And sometimes I don't really know where I'm from, but I do know where I'm going. And that's very, very important. And so I felt God's call into ministry in 1971. And that was during the time that there was an Iron Curtain. And so a lot of what we did was smuggling Bibles and literature and doing clandestine things in terms of training programs and camps and other activities until freedom came. And then we helped churches with children and youth ministry, some family ministry, publishing. And over the last few years, my emphasis has been on what can we do to come alongside national ministries that God is already using to put wind in their sails. And that can be in a lot of different ways. And sometimes it means that to be connected with other people within their own country, with other countries, getting the right ideas. But instead of reinventing the wheel and developing a competing type of a ministry, I'm very burdened with how can we really help people that God is using in the best possible way. And then you get very quickly to the topic of partnerships. Partnerships that over the last 40 years, I've seen some of them work really well. And they're very, very significant, and some of them don't. I've been hurt in terms of partnerships, and I've been blessed and encouraged. And maybe some of that has happened in your life and ministry as well. So part of it is, well, what can we learn, and how can we help others? And first of all, when we talk partnerships, are there partnerships that you can think of? In we live in a world that's very competitive, that's very individualistic. But again, there are many, many partnerships that are happening too. And that's not only in business, because if you have a computer, then, hey, that's a combination of different products, and somehow that is put together, and you have a final product, where the software comes from one place, the hard drive comes from another place, and when those big companies say, hey, we do better working together, that's something to think about. And the same is true in Christian ministry. Any partnership that you see in your country, and I see Nick Nettlechuk here, and hey, that's demonstrating a lot of partnerships. And one of them that really brought you to Poland. Any other What brought you here? Was there an organization or was there a network called the Evangelical Alliance in your country? And the European Leadership Forum, I think, is just a dynamite model of a partnership that you're getting something here that you wouldn't be able to get anywhere else. And you are connecting with people here. And you are being able to contribute. And so I think the Evangelical Alliance and the ELF is just a very, very positive example of a partnership that works, and a partnership that God uses. That's a blessing. Any other ones that want to comment on a partnership? The BE project, Biblical Education by Extension, it was too big of a project for one organization. And so different organizations said, hey, let's get together and let's not think about who gets the credit or whose program it is, but let's be burdened and let's move forward in equipping national leaders throughout Central and Eastern Europe. I think there is another one. I see my friend Henrik Kroll walk in, that is in the whole area of internet evangelism and follow-up. And so that again is not something that just one organization was able to pull it off, maybe in a very small way, but because others were starting to get involved in the partnership too. What started in France, what got added to in Holland, and then added to in Poland, it got better all the time, and it continues to be better because it really is an open platform that many people and many ministries contribute and participate in. So it's exciting to see those big things take off, but there also are small partnerships. There are just two or three churches in a city. I'm part of a church planters track, and it was very interesting. One of the things that was being taught was that if we can demonstrate and work together as churches in a community, we prepare the soil and we are a lot more effective in developing a new church plant. So, lots of different partnerships and different ways that they look like too, and different ways that they are governed, directed. And so now we are trying to figure out, okay, what are the good reasons for a partnership? What are the bad reasons for a partnership? Because you can learn from that and you can avoid a few mistakes if you know what some of the wrong reasons are. Anyone wants to volunteer an idea in terms of, this is how you can partner for the wrong reasons. And we don't need to hear any particular names, but just the dynamics. Maybe you just go into the partnership to get knowledge and maybe relationships, connections to get things out of it. And then you start doing your own thing and you dump the partnership. Very bad reason to go into a partnership. And I keep thinking about that picture of on the left, God's kingdom, and on the right, the very small my kingdom. And too often as organizations too, we think in terms of our own organization, in terms of my little kingdom, instead of saying like, okay, hey, that's God's big kingdom that we are part of. And how can we contribute? How can we please the master of that kingdom? Because it's not my kingdom. Therefore, I'm his servant and he is the master. And he also owns whatever ministry that he has called us to and entrusted us. What other wrong reasons could you think of looking for a partnership? And I heard here that, there is a financial partner that are helping. But with that too, it can be just totally for building my ministry and not really considering the financial person who thinks he is a partner, but he really only is an investor. And the only is an ATM machine, a bankomat. Again, there is an issue that sometimes in a partnership, there is that where the other partner says, okay, here's the money and here are my rules to play by. And then it becomes a very uneven partnership. It becomes, you basically become the employment, the employer of, the employee of the financer. And so what are some good reasons to partner? And on your outline, I've given a few to get started with. I think a good reason is the one that I mentioned just before, is the model unity. Model unity within the church, but also model unity within the community and within the country. By this, all people will know that we are God's children, that we have love among one another. Not that we have competition, but that we have love among one another. And so again, partnership models, a good partnership models, are working together, are receiving a blessing, but also giving a blessing. I think there is another example, another reason to get into partnerships, and that is it maximizes God's kingdom resources. Again, if we would have this type of a conference here, and then next month there would be the same type of a conference in let's say just across the border in Czech Republic, and then one maybe in Warsaw, and you would have a lot of similar conferences trying to accomplish the same goal, then again, you lose a lot of energy and a lot of resources in the process. And so it's just wonderful to see resources being better used. And if God is the owner of the ministry and we are his stewards, we should think from God's point of interest. And so that encourages us to say, okay, I may not get it 100% my way, but together we come a lot further than I would by myself. Another reason for partnership, and that has been brought up already too, is that it helps us learn from each other. I know very little from myself. Almost anything that I know, I learn from other people and I see other people do it. And hopefully I also learn from their mistakes so that I don't have to repeat them. But again, there is a lot of learning opportunity in partnerships. Sometimes, well, a couple of days ago, I was with a Czech internet team, and basically, my encouragement is, hey, look to your big brother in Poland. And so it's not really where I have the answers myself, but where I know I can take them. And so in partnerships, there's a lot of benefit because you learn from each other. And that means that someone is sharing and someone is eager to receive. Another reason to partner is simply that we cannot really do everything ourselves. And we cannot be an expert ourselves either. And we don't have the resources ourselves. That's only happening in that little my kingdom. And my kingdom is really more a fantasy world, because my kingdom is zero without God being in control. So it's not very good to be out in left field working for your kingdom, but to be part of God's work. And I'm really Dutch by background, so the Dutch have a reputation of being very frugal. That means you want to get as much out of your penny as possible. They even say that copper wire was invented by the Dutch because there were two Dutch people fighting over a penny. And so that stretched it. But again, I like it when I see where one and one is three. That doesn't often happen. But that's in partnership, that's really what happens. And especially a partnership under God. So that's where you see things take place that could not take place otherwise. And sometimes, though, it's easier in a partnership to attract the right resources. Again, in an internet ministry or in an ELF or whatever the partnership is, by the larger organization and by the larger ministry, you're able to draw the attention and to have a place for more areas of specialty, more specialists on the team, and a better quality work being done. Also, you may attract the attention in a positive way of the local community or of your national community. If you are doing something significant and Christian organizations from various backgrounds and different churches are working together, then the media may say, hey, that's something unique that we'll give attention to. Or a social project, a youth club, or an outreach for addicts, again, may get the type of backing that you may not get if you were trying to do it by yourself. We mentioned the financial resources. I know too that when I'm in contact with a foundation in a country, in the US or another country, again, they're looking at, okay, how are they connected and how are they partnering with others? Because again, they don't want to invest in something that's just competing with someone else. And they want the synergy as well. And they want the unity. And so again, partnerships really give you a terrific advantage in that sense. I know when freedom came, there were many churches in Central Eastern Europe that said, hey, during communism, we couldn't really do children's ministry, and we couldn't do teenage ministry and student ministry in many of the countries, or it was very restricted. We don't have curriculum for it. We don't have training for it. Can you help? And again, my best way of helping was looking for, okay, what are the specialists out in the world and who can I help and have a platform for so that they can do the teaching? Because I'm not a children's specialist. I'm just the bridge builder and the platform builder. And the same with the student ministry or youth ministry. And so again, that takes partnership. It takes a mindset of, it's not my ministry, it's God's ministry, and how can I play my part in what God is doing? And how can He use me in what He is doing? That's putting it better. I think when we talk partnerships, another thing that I'd like to throw out on the front end is that often it's better, or at least it's an alternative, to say, okay, let's not talk about partnership because there's a lot of commitment involved in partnership. Let's talk about a joint project because a joint project is very different. Joint project usually is a lot more short term. It's a lot more program oriented, task oriented. You do this, I do that. And a partnership is a lot more a long-term commitment, and there needs to be a lot more relationship in it. And then in different cultures, the word partner may mean something different too. I know even in the U.S., if I am in certain church circles, then partnership means 5, 10, 20 years. Then I'm in other church circles, and it means 1 year, maybe two, and they use the same word. But they say, no, 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 we want to have it exciting. And so what they're jumping, what they call partnerships, and I wouldn't really like to call that partnerships. I say, well, you do a joint project. A partnership to me is a lot like a marriage. Takes a lot more relationship, takes a lot more communication, takes a lot more hard work. So a joint project also gives you the advantage of you get to know your co-players a lot better. And during that process, well, maybe something is growing where you say, hey, we finished this project. Maybe it was an evangelistic campaign or a summer camp or something. But you say, hey, the cooperation was so good. I would love to continue cooperation. And then you start moving towards partnership. Paul speaks to Timothy as his spiritual son. And he is definitely, clearly, he is the mentor, he is the senior in the relationship. He speaks about Philemon in a very different way. And he calls Philemon his fellow laborer. Well, fellow laborer, that gives me the feel of, okay, they're on the same level. Now, Philemon may not have agreed with my statement, but again, Paul speaks about Philemon as a fellow worker where both of them are serving the same master. And in Paul's prayer, he thanks God for Philemon's love, for his great joy, and for the encouragement that Paul received from him. And so there is a ministry back that's very significant. Again, partnership is a relationship, and a relationship requires a lot of time, and it requires a lot of communication. And if you just think about a partnership as a bankomat, you kind of learn how to push the button so what you need comes out of it, it won't last for very long. You'll need a repairman very quickly. And it's not the machine, but it's you that needs repair. And so, again, a relationship takes a lot of time and a lot of communication. And often we are tempted to think in terms of partnerships when we come short of time or possibilities and we just try to get a few more bodies and a few more minds on board to kind of do the job. Budget a very significant amount of time and communication into the process, regardless if people are partnering financially or if they're partnering ministry-wise, whatever way they're partnering, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of communication, two-way communication. Otherwise, it's just going to be a partnership that goes flat, that goes dead very quickly. And so I just cannot overemphasize that. that right from the beginning you have to say, okay, if I'm going to have a partnership, it's not where there are two bodies and we get three times more accomplished. It means that you got three quarters of a body and three quarters of a body, because, again, a big part of it goes into that communication. And the more if you get other people involved in your teams as well. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to just kind of raise your hand and ask and interrupt. Or if I'm not using very expensive words, if I'm using a word you're not familiar with, then let me know as well. So we're all tracking together. The word synergy is really when the outcome is more than double what you bring in. So that's where I said one and one. If one and one is three, then there is a lot of synergy. So if two organizations, two ministries, or two pastors can accomplish more than just the sum, the total of the two individual ones, then there is synergy. The question is it necessary if you have a partnership and there are two ministries working together to be on the same level? It's not necessary. But there are a few dangers if there is a big, big discrepancy. And I think we will get into those in just a few minutes. So again, if your team has one person and the other team has 10 people, then there's still good reason and good opportunity for a partnership. But you have to be careful. I can share one example a hurt. And that's basically when we needed a specialist for a particular area of ministry. We had the person on our team with their support that was needed and everything. And we had talked to another ministry that says, well, this is really our area of specialism and we believe in partnership. And yes, we will be happy to train your person. Well, as soon as the person went there, he was being told, oh, no, they don't really know what they're doing. We are the experts, and even the people that sent you, they realize. So that's why they sent you. So why don't you join our team? Well, that wasn't quite what was agreed upon. That didn't build a whole lot of trust, and the next time that there was a joint type of an interest, I was a little bit more cautious. But again, that's in any relationship, there are going to be hurts. So you have to be willing to accept that as well. You're not going to work with perfect people. And honestly, I'm not a perfect person either. So relationship, and that's why you really need to budget time and communication. And if you don't invest those in it right on the front end, you're going to either get hurt or you need to invest a whole lot more when the wheels start coming off the car down the road. I think some of questions that are very good to ask yourself is especially when you are a small partner working with a big partner, is to say, do you know who you are? What your calling is? What you really can contribute? And then don't try to do what other people are doing, but basically feel like, okay, if my area of strength or our ministry's area of strength is in a particular area, then let's focus on that. And when the Biblical Education by Extension program was developed, well, we were not the theologians, but we did have a lot of experience smuggling Bibles and books. So we said, okay, that's at least one thing we can do. We can help getting those teaching resources in country and distributed and in different places. And so we had a very important role in that, and a much lesser role in some of the other things. And I think also, knowing who you are helps you to maintain who you are and to maintain God's calling. And I'm not quite sure if you understand what I'm trying to say, but just tackle me on it, even during the presentation or afterwards. But a partnership does not mean that everyone becomes kind of the medium. It really is a team of experts, a team of people that God has created, very, very different, to fulfill His purpose. When I look at my hand, four fingers look very, very similar. They're not all equally big, but they're close. They are pointed in the same direction. They're very similar, but there is one that's very different. Now, this one shouldn't start to function like the other ones, but it has a special place, and it can contribute in a unique way. And that's a good partnership, that these five can do something that that the fingers alone could not do. And so the thumb is very important. And so if you are a thumb, or if you are a thumb at different times, if that's really your calling, if that's what God is using you as, don't try to be something else. And in a partnership, the same way. In a partnership, even though you may be very different, there needs to be mutual respect. And so I cannot really work with someone that I cannot respect. And they won't work with me either unless they can respect me. They will use me, but that's not really a partnership. And so mutual respect is very, very important. And with that mutual respect comes mutual learning, being able to share, but also be able to be taught. To be able to be corrected if necessary. In the letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others." And to me, that's kind of the gospel on partnerships. Don't look only at your interest or your organization's interest, but also look at the interest of others. And that's the only way that it will have a chance to work for a long period of time. In a partnership, it's important to share not only your goals, but also your values. And you have to make sure that your values are compatible. Again, that takes communication. You have to know where you want to end up, but you also want to make sure that your values are compatible, and therefore your methods will be able to work, to be worked out in an harmonious way. And Yeah, if your values are not compatible, or your organizational cultures, which are often an expression of those values, then again, you are having for trouble. In the partnership, there also is mutual accountability, where I'm not doing my thing, I'm doing something for the partnership. And so the partnership should be able to say, "Hey, Hank, are you sure that's what you intended to do? And if you are sure that's what you intended to do, we feel a little uncomfortable with that." That's a very soft way of saying, like, "We think you were way off track. You did very wrong." But again, there is accountability in the partnership. And then there also is accountability external. When you work in a community, when you work within a denomination, when you work in whatever setting there is external accountability. And so it's not always where they can tell you what to do and not to do, but it is something to very, very to be very sensitive to. The question is, can you comment on the issue of being manipulated and manipulating in a partnership? All of that stems out of being in my little kingdom instead of in God's big kingdom. But yeah, there is always the temptation to kind of work for my little kingdom, to manipulate the other person or to use the other person for my benefit and not for mutual benefit or joint benefit. And so that's a constant struggle. And that's true in any relationship. Good point in terms of partnerships that are willing to help financially. There is often a temptation on the part of the person with the finances to say, "Well, here are the finances, but here are my rules to play by and to control what you're doing." And so they become your God. From your end, it's very tempting to say, "Well, what do we have to do so we talk the right language and we make them think the right things and kind of tiptoe and try to please them?" And again, that's not a healthy relationship. If you have a partnership with a church, in the US at least, often they say, "Hey, how can our people be involved too? And really have a sense of involvement." If you have a foundation, then typically they say, "Well, what's the return on our investment?" And that sounds very businesslike, and that's exactly what I want to be. They say, "We are here not to help people that we like, but we're stewards of the finances, and we are here to further God's kingdom in a particular area." And often they have their own criteria as well. It's also good to think about an exit strategy. If you're in a partnership, in a working relationship, I believe that marriage is for life. And there's just that's the way it is. But that's not the way partnerships are. And so then the question is, if you move out of a working partnership, is there an acceptable way of doing that? And sometimes it's very helpful to agree on that ahead of time, where you say, "Hey, if things don't work, then here, that's the best way to do it." Doesn't mean that I slammed the door and tried to destroy the ministry that I was a close partner with before. That's not an acceptable exit strategy. But again, it is something to consider and to ask yourself, and maybe even to discuss it. I think also a very important thing in partnerships is, are we willing to share control? Because in my little kingdom, I am king. And now suddenly I'm in God's kingdom and I'm working with others and I may not have full control anymore. And so that happens in ministry too. When there were 10 ministries joining together to do a BEE program, each one of those 10 ministries, they were giving up a significant amount of control. They were agreeing on curriculum together. They were agreeing on strategy together. They were agreeing on a lot of different things, on budgets. And so, again, you have to be willing to give up control. And another thing you have to be willing to give up is part of the credit. And that may sound like, hey, of course, or, well, we don't talk about that. But it's so tempting for different ministries to kind of present themselves as they are the only one doing it, or they are the only real ones doing it, or the only good ones doing it. And again, ELF is not, hey, one super ministry and they're doing it, but it's a joint. It's the whole body functioning. And again, it's sharing credit. Now, I know that often people feel that for their sponsors and financial support, it's very important to kind of make it sound like this is what they're doing all by themselves. But the opposite is true. Especially with the larger donors, they would question it. And they would say, well, you're not the only Christians in that country. So how do you connect with others? And I have many people that appreciate the fact that we give credit to different partners and people that we're working together with. And so, and then at the end of the day, when it's all over, then you basically say, well, we're still learning. And it's a little bit like with parenting. It's you kind of, with fear and trembling, raise your children, and only get a little bit more confidence once they are like 25, 30 years old and they have a wonderful Christian family. Then you say, well, maybe I can say a few things. But most of all, it's really God's grace. And that's with partnerships too. It's an ongoing learning process because relationships are dynamic. And so you continue to be on a learning track. If the partnership died after some time, is there still hope to revive it? I would rather look at it as a totally new partnership instead of kind of pumping in some more energy into something that didn't work or that didn't work for as long as you had hoped to. I think with partnerships too, one of the things to keep in mind is that a good partnership needs really a partnership champion, a point person for the partnership, a point person from your organization, a point person for the other organization. And those people have to have a very good relationship and be able to call things what they are. And then also, there was one more thing that I'm just losing right now. But you need to have two, and I got it back. You need point people, champions for the partnership that make it work, that are able to invest their time. But you also need the whole organization behind that point person that needs to buy into it as well. Because if I'm partnering with another organization, but my leadership and my organization just allow me to do that because they owed me a favor or whatever the reason is, but they don't really truly, fully endorse it, then as soon as I get taken away from my assignment, or I retire, or I end up in a car crash, for some way I'm not able to continue, then there really is not an organization that will continue to enthusiastically be part of the partnership. So again, you want to have buy-in from the larger organization, from their board of directors or whatever it is, board of elders, and not just based on one individual. Any last question? I like what Henry Nouwen said, or at least it's credited to him. He says, when we think we have arrived, we've lost the way. And so that keeps us on our knees and keeps us sensible, keeps us humble, and it keeps us in a learning position. And I'm fascinated. I love partnerships. It's my passion. And it's just dynamic. It all depends on the people, the ministries that are involved. And so if you are not totally sure, start with a joint project. Just a short-term endeavor. And again, if you're ready, then jump into a long-term relationship. But again, make sure that you do your homework before you make a significant commitment. And again, the world sees that we're Christians by the love, by the, again, being able to work together as Christians. And so, God bless you. Thank you for your time. And don't hesitate to tackle me afterwards or to send me an email at some point. My email address is at the very, very end. And usually, you can expect an answer within a few days.